This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Well, what a perfect day. The perfect morning to have on somebody who has been hobnobbing around all the pro days around the country, with still one more in particular after today's in Happy Valley, to talk about that and so much more on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in Zach Jackson of The Athletic. Zach, I'm guessing they have a Chipotle at State College. That seems to be where all the news goes down this time of year. What's up, Zach?
I did walk by Chipotle last night. I did not stop and indulge, but then I did see that madness, and I just, like, think about what this team has done to you people.
Well, it's a perfect way to get into the fact that Adam Schefter had the report this morning that the entire Browns contingent would be in Happy Valley. Of course, we know they were down in Miami doing a private workout for Cam Ward. What do you make of the significance of today's appearance in Happy Valley, and how big of a day is it truly, or is all this stuff already decided?
Well, it was yesterday's appearance in Happy Valley. I'm not sure they'll be there today. They haven't been at the other pro days. So, and Abdul Carter is not going to work out today, but they were here to meet with Abdul Carter. It's funny, Abdul Carter's agent is Drew Rosenhaus. So he and I were on the same flight from Miami to Columbus on Tuesday night for Ohio State's pro day, and then he was over here. Abdul has been back on campus here for a week or so. He's just not feeling ready to work out, and there's a thought that he might feel like he doesn't need to work out. So that the medical part adds a little bit of mystery here, but this is a kid who had the breakout end of the season, really was playing off-ball linebacker mostly before this year, and his first two visits were Cleveland and Tennessee, so he thinks he's going in the top two. So, obviously there's a lot of layers to the debate and what will the Browns do. But, I mean, I think when you lay out the options, I think Abdul Carter has always been at or near the top of the list. And unless something changes in these meetings or workouts, I think a lot of guesses are going to continue to be that the Browns draft Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter and then try to trade for Kirk Cousins and draft a quarterback later. So, that's the process that they're going through now. They're doing it their way. They're entitled, to do that. And I think it's perfectly fine, normal, and, probably right that they're going through these last paces and making sure that everyone meets the right people and sees the right people up close. And then when they come back from the meetings and from the trip to Colorado a week from today, then you're within 3 weeks, and then it's really decision time. So, if you can't trade up for the only top-tier quarterback in this class, and you probably can't, although I think that's realistic. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a minute. Then I do believe that you have to choose between Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter, because I don't believe, and no one that I've talked to believes, that there's a quarterback worth taking at number two in this draft.
All right, and just to clarify, Zach Jackson, who has been watching these pro days, the Browns do have scouts at some of these pro days, right? It's just
they have scouts at all of these pro days. But when I say they're, when I talk about the traveling party of the head coach, the GM, I mean, Glenn Cook's a top executive. He was at Miami's pro day. He's a former Miami team captain. But no, at any of the pro days that I've been to this year and in other years, the only one. One time I've seen Andrew Berry there. So they just don't do that. And then this year we know they're taking this tour where they're working guys out and they're meeting with them, you know, face-to-face. And that's happened over the last 4 or 5 days. And then we'll continue next week when Colorado has their own pro day for Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, and the three other receivers.
Zach, members of the ownership group have been racking up the frequent flyer miles as well. Meeting with Cam Ward, Abdul Carter last night in Happy Valley. How involved in the actual decision-making process? A little different from just taking the guided tour, shaking hands, meeting folks, but how involved in the actual decision-making process with that second overall pick do you feel the ownership group is?
Yeah, I mean, Daryl, I'd love to give you a firm answer on that. Obviously I don't, and then we can ask them at the owners' meetings and we won't get a firm answer.
Right.
But I would tell you this. I would tell you almost zero involved with the player being picked. However, any big plan goes through ownership as you sign off.
Right.
And it's, like I said, perfectly normal and fine to not be arrived at your final plan at this point. But really, any huge plan that would involve giving up more capital to go get Cam Ward would have to be signed off by that guy. And then whether the quarterback disaster is the owner's fault or not the owner's fault or somewhere in between, and you know, probably somewhere in the middle is usually the answer on these things, right? They have to get this fixed. So I would say it's fair and normal for ownership to ask questions of how are we going to address this, right? Because not just addressing it, but getting it right is the only way forward. And, you know, we all know, and Myles Garrett insinuated this, this team is a two-draft fix. Right. This team has a lot of holes. But the way to change the vibe is to get the right one. And whether that's at 1, 2, 33, 20, 55, 67, you know, I think we'll know by November or December, and that will determine a lot. So, yeah, I think ownership has to be involved in asking the right questions and then signing off on it. I mean, look, when Tennessee showed up at Cam Ward's pro day the way that they did,
yeah,
and Cam Ward performed the way that they did, continuing this rise that's really been for 5 years where he's gone from wing T high school quarterback to number one pick in the draft, right? And then the Browns still went and did their meeting and did their workout, and Tennessee is saying they're doing – Tennessee is basically daring the Browns and the Giants to outbid one another. Will Tennessee ultimately accept that, or will they just make the pick? I don't know. I think they'll probably just make the pick. That's part of the intrigue here. But that they're just doing their business just in the way the Falcons decided to do their business with Cousins, even though it was unconventional and probably surprising for multiple teams, including the one that always planned on Kirk Cousins being their quarterback.
We're all trying to figure out what the Browns are going to do in this upcoming draft. My latest hypothesis, Zach, is that they will take Carter at two and then trade back into the first round, considering they've got five picks in the top 104. I've got them trading back into the first round to take the quarterback. How feasible, considering the quality of the quarterbacks that are available? As you mentioned, you know, there are a lot of guys that just, they don't measure up. But how feasible do you think it would be for the Browns to take that route to try and find the rookie quarterback?
I think that's a feasible route, Daryl. That's certainly on my list of the five scenarios in the way we look at it right now that published yesterday. And I think that's probably more likely than trading up to one to get Cam Ward. However, I'm not sure you have to. And they're not sure you have to. And the draft always brings intrigue. And the shape of the draft from 17 on is going to be dependent on how teams really value these running backs, how teams value these left tackles who have various issues, you know, but are still premium talents, you know, at a premium position. But, I mean, I don't know that anyone loves. I'm pretty confident that no one loves any of these quarterbacks, but you convince yourself that you do. Right. And that's what happens over this time period right now. So if they have to do that, that's a feasible scenario. But I'm not sure they have to do that. And then are they going to end? It's not just saying you're going to do that. You have to have one in mind that you would do that for. And then it's, okay, how far do we have to go and how far can we go? You know, when the Steelers put out that thing that they're having dinner with Jalen Milroe, I think that was completely intentional to let teams know that they do they really want him? Would they do it? Is that where he goes? Again, we're all guessing. But that is certainly a scenario that as soon as the Browns would turn in the card on Abdul Carter or on Travis Hunter, and I'm more convinced that Travis Hunter is an option than I was a couple of weeks ago, then they would absolutely begin looking to where they would get. But again, I think when we talk about that, some of us look and say, well, it could be Shuck, it could be Milroe, it could be Dart. No, they have to have one in mind to do that and go do that. So we don't know who that would be. And then they obviously would have to have the plan for how they would have to get there.
Zach Jackson joining us right now on the hotline. So what has stood out to you since you're saying like the Browns and Andrew Berry, they don't really care all that much about the pro days, but you know, you've certainly been at these. You're going to be at Colorado's as well. You're going to see two guys that could end up being Cleveland Browns. So what has stood out to you so far from those experiences or just from the conversations that you've been able to have?
I mean, Cam Ward was it was a show, right? And it's supposed to be. It's highly scripted and comfortable. And you know, when the Browns do private workouts, it's essentially the same thing. It's just a little less scripted. You know, when they work out Cam Ward or Jackson Dart, they're asking those guys to make the throws and run the plays that Kevin Stefanski or Tommy Reese wants them to, rather than their personal quarterback coaches or their college offensive coordinator who remembers putting it together, right? It's the same stuff. Will Howard made almost the same exact script of throws that Cam Ward did. It was just Will Howard was thrown to a couple of running backs and one tight end. Cam Ward was throwing to two outside receivers and two tight ends. They were a little different. Howard's a great, good athlete. Ward's a great athlete. It was pretty wild to watch Cam Ward in person and say this is what an NFL quarterback looks like. So he's got a long way to go. But again, his climb is all about getting better every year, and we'll see. And there's not a sure thing. And I, even though it doesn't matter, you know, it is fair to wonder how many years he'd be the number one pick. But he's going to be the number one pick this year. And to me, the intrigue is whether Tennessee's really willing to let an auction play out, that they would willing to accept one of the bids at the end.
Zach, I've been joking that starting with the 33rd pick, the Browns should take the best Buckeye left on the board for their draft philosophy because it's NFLU down there in Columbus. You were at the Pro Day in Columbus. What stood out to you when you look at the what seems like 20 Buckeyes that are going to be available in this draft and just how good they're going to be at the next level?
Well, real quick before I answer that, Daryl, because that's a good question, Anthony, let me follow this. When people started, this is how this goes. When people reported that Howard was 62 of 64 or whatever, they were counting every single throw he made, including the warm-up lobs when they first took the field for the quarterback workout.
Oh,
right?
Geez.
So, and that's no diss on Will Howard, who really there were only three balls on the ground for the entire thing, right? But that's what it's supposed to look like. That's why you do it at your campus with receivers you know in the script that you do.
And reporters that you know.
Yeah, right. But I mean, that, like I said, that included every single. I was like, guys, that's not the number you should go with. But whatever, I got my own battles to fight here. They're like, it's a freak show, you know. Really, for 12 years now since Urban Meyer got there, when you go to Ohio State practice, it looks like a Senior Bowl practice. And when you see all these guys, you know, it was funny to me watching all the talent at Miami, and they were wearing the Pop-Tarts Bowl gear, and I was like, this team only made the Pop-Tarts Bowl. And then you get to Ohio State, and everybody's wearing the national championship gear. And I have seen – the difference is I have been to Ohio State games, and I've seen it, like in the case of Jack Sawyer, I've seen these guys since they were young and came up, you know, so you see them now. the Josh Simmons kid is fascinating from Ohio State because on talent, he's a top tackle, like and potentially a top 10 pick, especially in this draft. But he has the major knee injury, and now there's reports of other stuff going on. And, I mean, he's a guy that could be there at 33, and that's a Cleveland Browns pick, if there ever was one. So, yeah, you see a lot. But, yeah, you see a whole lot. And in Penn State, you know, Tyler Warren is a top whatever pick, maybe 10, I don't know, but they've done a really good job in the last few years of developing guys and having guys who are athletic and coveted. So there'll be another big crowd today, and there'll be, you know, more names to see, even without Carter working out. I'm assuming that Drew Aller will be the quarterback today for Tyler Warren and the workout, and then so the eyes of the NFL will get to see him. I don't know that for 100% sure. That's just my feeling on how the rules have changed, and they're allowed to do that. So then, therefore, even without Abdul Carter, there's something Browns related to see today. So we will see who's still here from the traveling party.
Zach, I am interested in this discussion that, man, we have been bombarded with fans that watched Will Howard win a national championship, did so kind of at times look dominant, looked as accurate as he'd looked all year. Then you look at him physically, you know that he's 6'5", feels like a guy who, you know, you could be doing the push with, needing 1 yard. Why is he not, you know, at the top of the first round? What are the limitations there?
Well, I mean, the answer to me would have to be arm strength, but, I mean, there's a lot to like about this kid, right? And I think one of the things that's fascinating for radio and podcasts and those who write and those who consume what we write and talk about is that, you know, a lot of them have been clamoring for a certain quarterback at number two who's not even 200 pounds, and they think that he's going to go to Cleveland at number two and succeed. But Will Howard is 6'4 and 236 and can run. So, like, is that a question that just gets asked in a draft room? You would hope that it is, right? So, you know, Will Howard absolutely made the right call by not going to the draft last year. He wasn't ready. He absolutely made the right call by coming to Ohio State. And, you know, I see why he's not viewed at the top of this class, but really when you look at how he played, he definitely played better in the second half of the year, the Michigan game being the huge exception. He was part of that group getting their blank together and going and recovering from that and winning. And he certainly didn't do it on his own with all those freak shows around him. But yeah, I mean, I think you can do worse than him. And you got to think that Chip Kelly said, okay, you know, because sometimes you just sign a DB or you sign a tight end and that's what you do. But there should be a plan at the quarterback room all the time, right? And so it's like we walk the line here of it's March, don't panic, versus there should be a plan all the time. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is when they traded a third rounder for Geno Smith, who's 34 or 35 years old, don't you think that they said we're going to add Will Howard to this room with him?
All right, Zach, I appreciate it. Next time we'll get a chance to talk about who the next football and basketball coaches are at Kent State.
I look forward to that discussion.
It was a wild day yesterday. All right, Zach. We'll see you next time. There he is. Zach Jackson of The Athletic on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Some interesting comments on Will Howard there at the end. That is seriously one of the most frequent calls, tweets we've been getting. Why is Will Howard not at the top of this? I want to talk about that. Dale Ryder in for Kenny. We have some reaction to what Zach Jackson just said. He's going to be at Abdul Carter's Pro Day and some interesting things he said about Will Howard. But first, how about your Guardians off today? Chance to get to 2-0 tomorrow.
1-0.
Manzardo. I mean, you could throw in Manzardo to a chant. You could do anything.
MVP.
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 Have you checked Mitch? Have you checked the MVP rankings? Do we have odds? I mean, what a fantastic
Emmanuel
debut
Clase,
to start here.
Cy Young.
He is 1-0. So
you got to get him in there at some point. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So yesterday, great start from the Gardos. It was a little hairy there in the eighth and then the ninth, but then they come through in extra innings and they win. They had another three runs and it was over. It's nice to silence the crowd. It's always good to spoil someone else's homecoming or someone else's opening day.
Well, that's exactly they knocked out that pitcher early in the fifth inning, which is great. Yeah. And then, you know, they've got a guy who's probably going to be in the MVP voting, and Bobby Witt, who legged out and kind of kept them back in that game.
Well, think about it. It was the eighth in the eighth without the base.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ace running gaff.
Right.
If Kansas City actually knows how to run the bases,
well,
might have been a different outcome.
He would have come up with runners on, and yeah. Who knows what the tally would have been. Maybe the bases could have been loaded. I mean, all depends how they would have handled that situation.
Maybe Class A maybe not even had a chance to blow the save and pick up his first win.
Right. Okay, a Class A, I do want to say, because you've been a little sarcastic about Class A, you know, the way that we treat relievers and especially closers.
By the way, there's a little truth in sarcasm.
Yeah. Well, that's why I wanted to ask you. You go from being locked in, dominant. He was a Cy Young hopeful last year.
And now I think he's trying to game the system. You know, saving games isn't going to win him a Cy Young.
With the stats,
but if he starts winning games, hey, you know.
How many iffy situations late with the game on the line until you're like, oh man, what happened to our guy? What happened to our dominant closer? Because these guys lose it so fast.
Well, and it wasn't like he wasn't throwing hard. I mean, he's still throwing 100, right. 101.
But it was straight. My thing is the movement, and we saw this in the playoffs last year too against the Yankees in the ALCS. The movement on his pitches just isn't what I'm accustomed to seeing from him, and that's what made him dominant, not just the velocity. Because here's the thing. Guys can hit heat. Like, that's, you know, I mean, you let the pitcher supply the power. That the old adage there, right? Well, the thing that made Class A good was that his heat, his 99 and 100, it moves on you. Where you look at, going back to the ALCS, you look at yesterday, it just looked like he was throwing straight darts, and that's why he was running into bats the way he was. So I think that I don't want to say concerned, because it's one game. It's a little early, and I'm just having some fun with the whole playoff meltdown thing. But it is something that I'm going to watch in the next couple of weeks to see if he's able to get that movement back in his pitches that we've become accustomed to seeing. Because if he does that, he's going to be fine and there's nothing to worry about. But if he keeps throwing 100-mile-an-hour darts that are just straight, he's going to run into a lot of bats and he's going to blow a lot of games.
Well, you go back to the ALCS last year. He blew two consecutive games in two consecutive nights. And now the first time they came back and won, which was a very odd state of affairs because everybody's going nuts.
And I think
the Guardians win.
I think he had one blown save during the regular season. Like, he didn't blow any games.
And then it was back to back
during the regular season, and then back to back the Yankees got him. But
Darryl, was what happened after the game. So everybody is celebrating and he was like the first one out of there.
He walked out and then he didn't even shower. He just got his stuff.
Then he went on social media.
The Instagram thing where he's like doing the trophy, the awards thing or whatever.
So it's at that point fans are like, oh no, is this in his head? Is this going to cost him? He comes back the next night, blows another one. They lose. They're down 3-1.
Right.
And, you know, the rest is history. So you just want him to come out, and I know it is. We're in March, and the weather is actually good. So normally it's late March, early April, and 40 degrees. You're not going to hang that on a closer or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just something to pay attention to, and I think people are a little nervous about that spot, especially with as overworked as the bullpen was last year. That's the one thing.
They had to overwork it last year. There was no choice.
Yeah.
They couldn't keep the rotation healthy, and that's my number one concern about this ball club this year is how healthy can you keep the rotation? Obviously, outside of the second base and the right field situation, not only defensively, but from an offensive standpoint, can you keep the rotation healthy so you don't have to burn out your bully by September? But I think I said this earlier in the show, Anthony, that the game is changing. And it started with Tito Francona. I'm going to give him credit for this because that 2016 World Series run for the then-named Indians when they Francona got real creative with how he managed the starting rotation because they were shortchanged. The rotation was banged up, and he found a creative way to use spot starters and use the bullpen. And you're seeing this now where teams are looking for, instead of, we talk about a quality start is five plus innings, three or fewer runs.
That was not a quality start when I was young. It's amazing how it's changed.
That's today. Like, I'm old school. A quality start for me is you went six or seven innings.
And spared the bullpen.
And you gave up three or fewer runs. And now you're seeing teams, because everything is a copycat, you're seeing teams in the sports science too, right? Preserve the arm, throw fewer pitches. You're seeing teams like, hey, let's game plan for the first five innings, get started through five. And then we've got a deep bullpen, and so we got maybe a sixth inning and seventh inning situational guys.
But
and
you
then you got your pre-closer, and then your closer.
But you can't just go righty lefty like when we were young,
right?
And
Hargrove was
pulling the strings. You have to have guys that you can rely on, not just for that one batter. You have to be set no matter what happens. So I did find that interesting. Also, hey, it was nice that eventually I think we all were able to watch the game. We're all able, something we would take for granted for so many years. And yesterday, everybody was making sure. And there were glitches, certainly. We talked about it to start the show. There were some glitches.
Here in Cleveland, nationwide. There were a lot of folks. I was seeing some of the reaction on social media in other markets that subscribe to the, not necessarily a team, but I think there's an MLB.com. Package that you can, a streaming package.
Yeah, it's all in the same app. $200 package that gives you every team plus the Guardians and no blackouts, and I couldn't watch a single one
okay.
the first couple hours.
But you eventually.
I did.
It's going to be a long season.
Hey, listen, opening day caught everybody by surprise, okay? Can we give some grace here?
Season's only 161 and a half for Mitch.
Not technically, it started a week ago.
It's not like they
did it. We saw those, though. They were at 6 a.m.
It's not like they test drove this thing in Tokyo or something a week ago.
All right. Well, so imagine, Daryl, that you were in Minnesota and you were getting excited to see the Twins on opening day yesterday. They were getting ready to set the scene. Your favorite team is in St. Louis, and you're on this newfangled broadcast network. The local TV deals are a thing of the past. Here we go. Here was your introduction to 2025 Twins baseball.
Today marks the dawning of a new era of Guardians television coverage. The game by and for the team that all Cleveland fans care about. A team with history as tough and proud as the city it represents. Today, we bring you the next evolution of Guardians baseball coverage. Faster, more exciting play, and the presentation to match.
All right. This was what was getting played. That's not our mistake for once. That was someone else's mistake.
I have a serious objection to this, too.
That audio courtesy of MLB.
Well, courtesy of the Twins TV network, but borrowed from the Guardians team network. Courtesy of MLB, courtesy of, whoever flipped the switch there.
Why are we having Bob Costas, who hates Cleveland, voice?
He doesn't hate Cleveland. Come on, Daryl. You need to throw away these tired narratives. He loves Cleveland.
I've heard he said Cleveland rocks.
He just might not have been rooting for them in the playoff series that he was broadcasting.
Bob Costas is the last person. What, Tom Hanks wasn't available?
No, he was at the Dodgers game.
He was at the Dodgers game. Yeah.
He's worse than Mitch. He's flipping teams left and right.
Boy, this is sad. It is a sad state of affairs.
It's a sad state. When we've lost Tom Hanks, the guy that introduced us to we are all Cleveland Guardians.
Come on, summer stock in Cleveland. How many times has he told that story?
77. It was a great year.
He threw out the first pitch.
We lost Forrest Gump?
It's over. He ran all the way out to L.A. You've seen the movie. So you could tell they were getting through it yesterday. They were trying to figure everything out. I wonder when all is said and done, will people be happy? Have they figured out a way to watch their team after what looked to be a nightmare scenario right before first pitch yesterday?
Weiler, are you not familiar with society today? Nobody's going to be happy about anything.
The one thing that I didn't know, and that I'm hoping I have the edge because I'm a streamer and not one of the ones that had a cable package that ended up getting the game, at what, 9 yesterday morning is when they said everything got done. But I did not realize there's the ability to listen to not only the TV call, but the radio call and sync them up And I did not take advantage of that yesterday. I will tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I just want to see what it's like. I've done that for football for years, singing up, of course, our coverage.
Sure.
With the TV, but it's something that I have to do, and I felt like I had gotten down pretty close to perfection. They're just going to do it for me. So that might have been worth the money.
I just can't have the Yankee and Cub lover voicing over the intro to Cleveland Guardians baseball.
Yeah,
that's offensive to me.
How would you have felt if it would have been Joe Buck? Come on, Darryl. We can't hate every national guy.
Yeah, I can't.
Doing the game. That was Zach Jackson weighing in on Will Howard. He saw him at the Ohio State Pro Day. He is at Abdul Carter's Pro Day today. If you missed that, all you have to do is go to the Odyssey app and use the rewind function. Darryl Ryder is in for Ken Carmen. We do have coming in hot at the end of the show, 1 hour from now, a pretty good time to pay attention.
As Ken would say, please keep it within the boundaries of good taste.
If you don't, I've got a diabolical question. I've got it written down, and I'm just telling you, you don't want us to go there. You don't. It could change the whole morning. 216-474-0092. So, Darryl, I realize that not everybody is a draft pundit. So when you see, you know, the aggregations, the lists that are out there, you put them all together, you're not really going to find Will Howard mentioned, you know, remotely in the same breath as Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
Right? And he's not even really mentioned as the next guy in most of the conversations.
Right.
In fact, if you go back after that Michigan game in which he was terrible through the two interceptions, I mean, they could not move the football.
I put part of that, too, on the play calling.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think Chip Kelly set him up for success there. I felt like in that Michigan game, and that's why I was so livid about it, was they got away from what they do best. So I don't want to say I give him a pass for that. I don't think that that's fair, but how he played in the 4 weeks after that, how he responded,
was nuts. Yes.
And how he elevated that entire offensive unit around him during the college football playoff all the way to winning it all stands out to me. Do I think he's a first-round quarterback? Absolutely not. I don't know that he's a second-round quarterback. But
so
like,
why not? Why not when you look at his attributes? If what we're saying about Shedeur Sanders
right.
is he is limited physically, he is...
Well, he's bigger than Shedeur.
Yes, much bigger.
I think his arm is stronger than Shedeur's. It's not that I don't like Shedeur Sanders, okay? This isn't a personal thing
for
me.
Well, you don't. You've made that abundantly clear.
I don't feel like he's worthy of a first-round pick. I don't think he's a first-round quarterback. I think the reason why he's being considered is because he's Deion Sanders' kid, plus he's a quarterback. And there is some cachet that comes with you turn around Jackson State, you go to Colorado, you turn that program around, okay? He had a terrible offensive line there, which I think complicates the evaluation of him and his decision-making and whatnot. But, you know, I think Will Howard, this is just my view on it. I think it's the third round. I'd have no problem if the Browns picked him at, 67 or 94. I wouldn't have a problem
with
that.
So do you think it's an Ohio State bias that has fans – not wanting to, because they, I'm telling you.
Working against him?
If we ran a poll right now, which was, would you rather have Shedeur Sanders at 2 or Will Howard in the second round? You know what? Should that be a poll that Mitch should put up?
Absolutely.
Is that a fair one that we're not going to get yelled at? We get yelled at for 99% of our polls. That's a pretty fair one, right? It makes you, as an evaluator at home, or just as a fan, evaluate a situation. Mitch, poll question right now. Would you rather have Shedeur Sanders at number 2 or Will Howard in the second round? And we'll go by that. We'll work off the numbers for the rest of the show.
Shedeur Sanders at 2 or Will Howard at 33, because that's where the Browns pick right now. Here's the thing, though. If you're taking a quarterback mm-hmm. at 33,
yep.
you need to move up into the second round.
To make sure you get him?
I apologize. I misspoke.
The first round.
You need to move up into the first round.
Well, don't complicate the poll question, Darryl, but I understand the logic.
Because to me, it's pointless to take a quarterback with the first pick in the second round. That, to me, is absolutely pointless.
I agree.
Because of the years
Well, yeah, just move up a spot at 30.
That extra year is huge.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't work out, then who cares?
You don't have to worry about the fifth round option. It's not going to kill you. So
all right, let's ask Marcus in Aurora, 216-474-0092. We got Joel Corey coming up in 11 minutes. Marcus, you heard the question.
Happy Friday, guys.
Hey, what's up,
Marcus? Listen, you know, he played for Chip Kelly, and if he slips a little in the draft, I really believe that the Raiders will take Will Howard.
Had a good meeting with him. According to Will himself, he said he had a great meeting with Chip
Kelly.
I believe me, Kelly would love to take him. They have other needs. You know, I'm thinking they're taking the wide receiver from Arizona, the tackle from Missouri, or the running back from Boise State with their first pick, unless they decide to trade back. But I they're going to pick Henderson or Judkins, too. I mean, there's going to be two or three Ohio State players on the Raiders roster next year, I believe in. And I love Howard, and he fits Kelly's system. He's big, and, you know, Brock Purdy can't throw the ball to the other side of
I didn't realize we were doing a Raiders draft show today.
Well, listen, we asked the question, and he was given his analysis.
And I was going to say, it's nice to say they're all going to the Raiders.
Mitch,
but not
a poll question. Would you rather hear about the Browns draft potential or the Raiders draft potential?
I can tell you that since the poll has been put up, there's already 25 votes.
They are flooding the poll.
And Howard is in, 75% of the vote right now for Will Howard. Mitch, you're rolling your eyes. Ohio State bias? Is that what you're willing to say here?
It's the opposite of bias. If in a perfect world, Will Howard going to the Browns would be a dream, but the guy has a pool noodle for an arm.
That has been Mitch's stance for months now.
Okay, you have used the term pool noodle. You do have an affinity towards using that term.
I saw great throws from him during the playoff, but I did not see one that would prove he would translate to being a quarterback in the NFL where there's better coverage, faster coverages, and throws you need to make in crunch time.
Mitch, so give us your favorite college football teams because we know you have multiple.
Well, there's Ohio State there, number one, first of all. Ironically, I was keen on the 2000s Miami teams after watching the U documentaries.
So you time travel for your second team?
And we just need Ohio State documentaries.
Well,
and
I was waiting for Kent State, obviously, because even though we're not in a great space right now.
The best team and the worst team in the country.
Did you say Kent State?
Yeah, because I went to Kent State.
Yeah. Are you aware of...
I'm aware.
Very aware. Do you have any intel on Kenny Burns and what happened yesterday?
Placed on
administrative leave.
That's not intel, but just what I've seen.
Okay. And by the way... They lost to St. Francis, who has now gone down to Division III.
Yeah.
Yes.
I called that game. St. Francis was starting a wide receiver at quarterback, and they beat Kent State.
I'm just glad Mitch didn't tell us he was an Ohio State and a Michigan fan.
Well, I just assumed it. I just assumed it. What is
that?
Don't
do that anymore.
What kind of play acting, what kind of make-believe is Mitch doing back there in the booth? All right.